Lord gave me the message I preached this morning, one evening while I was meditating in the Scriptures and reading, and I got up the next morning and began to read, and lo and behold, the Lord gave me another one. And I said, well, Lord, surely Thou hast spoken. And so I certainly want to mind the Lord. Had not, if I'd have known definitely Brother Gray had been here tonight, I might have let him, had him to preach for us. I didn't know for sure, and I'd prepared, and so I thought, well, I've prepared, and so I'm going to try to encourage the people of God tonight. Amen. In what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And a lot of it, the first half of the message or better, is just simply illustrations from the Bible. And then the last 4 points, I've only got 11 points, by the way. And the last 4 points will be the gist, really, of the real part of the message, as far as that goes. But I want you to turn in your Bible again tonight to the book of Psalms. And this morning we were in chapter number 92. Tonight we're going to be in chapter 94. Psalms and chapter number 94. And I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture for us tonight. Verse number 16. The writer here says, who shall rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's a good question. Especially in our day, that's a tremendous question to ask the people of God. And really, the reason the question is asked even makes it more important. And I'll try to explain that very briefly, and then we'll get right into the thoughts that I feel like the Lord wants us to deal with tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm so thankful for the songs that we've enjoyed tonight in the house of God. I appreciate Your people being here in their place, being faithful, dedicated to the house of God. Lord, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, a house of the Lord, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And I'm grateful and thankful, Lord, for the good liberty that You provided in the morning hour. And I pray that You'll help me to overcome my body that is tired and fatigued tonight, my mind that may be somewhat dull, and Lord, that You'll fill my spirit full of power and wisdom, and God, that You'll anoint me tonight with fresh oil, and allow me, I pray, to preach to the people of God, that through me, Lord, I might be an inspiration, or You might be an inspiration, a blessing and a help to the church. I pray for sinners tonight to be saved. I pray for families and homes and hearts to be helped to the Lord. Again, I pray You'll fill me with the Holy Ghost and with wisdom. I pray You'll energize my body. And Lord, that You'll give my mind clarity of thought tonight as I preach the Word of God, to do my best to glorify the Lord Jesus that loved us and died for us, in whose name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read the verse one more time, and maybe it will captivate your attention somewhat, where the writer says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And I want to try to preach for a little while tonight on this thought, a very simple thought. It's time to take a stand. It is time to take a stand. You know, it was Joshua that said, who is on the Lord's side? And it is time, as for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. And I want to deal with that tonight, that it's time to take a stand. Now, it's not my intention, and I don't intend to try to spend a great deal of time tonight on the introduction or on introducing this song. But I do want to say that the writer, as I read down through it, you can read it for yourself when you get home tonight. But as I read through this psalm, it appears that the writer is somewhat concerned over the Lord's reluctance to judge or to deal with the wicked. In fact, he said in verse 3, how long shall the wicked? And then he just pauses. He goes no further. It's like he is about brokenhearted, and that's all that he can get out. And he repeats himself, how long shall the wicked triumph? In other words, he sees the wicked and the ungodly apparently triumphing over the people of God. Somebody said, preacher, I didn't think the Lord would allow that. Well, you're just mistaken. The Lord will allow that. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take Babylon, into the nation of Israel and take Judea into the land of captivity to chastise a people that would not be obedient to the Word of God. And so there did come times in the Bible that the Lord allowed His people to be overcome by the enemy. In fact, He gave David that as an option when David numbered the people against the will of God, that he might flee from his enemy for an X amount of time, an X period of time. So the Lord will allow our enemy to triumph over us for a certain period of time. And he's reluctant. He seems reluctant to judge the wicked here. He lays out a long list, the writer does, of offenses of the ungodly against the people of God. Now listen carefully. He understands in verses 9 through 15 that the Lord is fully aware of their present problem. Now, I want to say to you tonight that God is always aware of our problems. There's never a time that the Lord is not aware of you and where you are and what you're going through. Somebody said, you say that all the time. Well, I wouldn't say it as much if you would learn it. That if you believe what I'm telling you, that the Lord knows where you are in your life. He knows the problems that you're facing in your life. He knows the chaos that your life can get in from time to time. And the Lord does thoroughly understand. And He understands the present problem here in this passage of Scripture. Why then has the Lord done nothing about the problem? You would think the Lord would do something. Why hasn't He avenged His people? The Bible said in verse 1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. And so the writer is aware of the fact that God will avenge His people, but what he cannot figure out is why the Lord has not done it up until this point. Has that ever crossed your mind? Why you're encountering what you are, and it doesn't seem like that the Lord has come on the scene in enough power to give you the grace and the power to overcome the problem or the difficulty that you're facing in your life. or even to give you the ability to make the right decisions, that you know that if you made those decisions, that they not only would enhance your Christian life, but they would bless you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And for some reason or not, the Lord just has not given you that kind of power and that kind of ability to overcome those trials and tribulations that you're having in your life. Has it ever occurred to you? It did to this writer. And I think the answer is this. Why hasn't he avenged his people? The answer comes in verse number 16. The Lord is looking for a man. Amen. There's the answer. I believe the Lord has always been looking for men. I think we've gotten the idea that God finds a certain man and then he don't look anymore. I'm going to tell you what we're trying to do in the year 2007. We're trying to live off preachers in the past. And we're trying to live off of what they preached in the past. And how they lived in the past. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we don't live in the past. I believe, like Esther, that God has us here for such a time as this. Thank God for Spurgeon, but I'm telling you, Spurgeon lived in his day. I couldn't have done what he did, and I'm going to be honest with you, he could not do what I'm doing. What I'm doing, trying to keep a ministry afloat with marathons, it would have drove him absolutely batty. Somebody said, oh, he could have handled it. If he could have handled it, God would have had him here instead of me. But God knows what men are made out of, and God puts men where they are for such a time as what they're living in. And God has you and I here for such a time as this, ladies and gentlemen. And the problem here is not with God. The problem is that God has not found a man that will stand in the gap and make up the hitch and take a stand against the evildoer. You know what we're waiting on today? We're waiting on the government to politicize our problems away. We're waiting on the government to pass laws that will do the job of righteousness. And they're not going to get the job done. You might legislate some laws, but you're not going to legislate righteousness. God is looking for a man, ladies and gentlemen, who will stand up or stand against the evildoers. Amen. He's looking for a man that will stand against the workers of iniquity. I'm telling you, we folded up like an accordion. The devil says, boo, and we just about have a stroke. It's kind of, I'm going to tell you how we're living. We think we're going to get the upper hand on the devil, but it's kind of like happened over at my house tonight. I love to scare Mrs. Hall. Now, don't ask me why, but I've just got that in me. Now, I like to do things to spook her. And she was back in the bedroom, and I walked over to the living room door there by the hallway. I could hear her back in there, thoom, thoom, thoom. And I said, here she comes. I waited, and I looked, and I said, no, she ain't coming. And I hear thoom, thoom. I said, she'll be here in a minute. And I'm standing there like that. And I look around, she ain't coming. I said, where's that woman at? So I hear thump, thump, thump again. I said, here she comes. And about that time, I lean forward, and she's right in my face and goes, whoa! And I'm telling you, I like to jump plumb out of my hide. She said, I saw you in the fray in the picture hanging on the wall. I said, God have mercy. The plan backfired. I'm telling you, that's about what we're trying to do to the devil tonight. We're trying to holler boo at the devil, only he's got the advantage on us, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, God is looking for somebody that when the devil hollers boo, they won't jump through their hide like I did tonight.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. We'll get there. I want to name some people that stood up against the evildoers. I think of a little old man, a boy by the name of David. And the Philistines had encamped against Israel. And Israel had encamped against the Philistines. And the Bible said that every morning and every night, the Philistines would send out their champion, a man by the name of Goliath and of Gath, and he would defy the armies of God. I'm telling you, Goliath is still defying the armies of God. He is defying you and I today, ladies and gentlemen. And God, like then, is looking for a man that will stand up against the evildoers. I'm going to name some of them evildoers here in just a minute. Who said, uh-oh? Brother Leroy did, didn't know, brother. Now, David has already been anointed king. His brothers are up on the front line, and here comes little David just running an errand for his daddy. And his brothers begin to mock him. We know the naughtiness of your heart. Where's them few little bleating sheep you left in the wilderness? You're just up here to see the battle. We know what you're up here for. David said, what will the Lord do for a man that will go up against this champion, Goliath of Gath? They said, Saul has done promised his daughter to the man that will go up against the champion. David's brother said, that we know the naughtiness of your heart. Little old David looked at them and said, is there not a cause? Amen. I want to say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, God is looking for a man. Because there is a cause tonight, and God is looking for a man that will stand up against the evildoers. I want to say this before I start on these next 3 points. That I'm telling you, the devil would like nothing more than to shut our mouth at WSOF Radio. He'd like nothing better than to shut us down in Kentucky, in Tennessee. Oh, yes, he doesn't want somebody that's got enough brass to cry out against the sins of the day and the evildoers of the day, regardless of the price that he might have to pay for it. God is looking for a man that will stand up against the evildoers. Now, we've got politicians now. We don't want to vote for Hillary. She believes in abortion. We don't know what Obama believes, and I don't believe anybody else does. Amen. Mitt Romney 4 years ago did, and now he don't. And I'm beginning to wonder if any of them know what they believe. But can I say to you, it don't matter, and I don't give a flip to me what they all believe. You're not going to legislate morality, ladies and gentlemen. There is an attack on the morality in America by the evildoers. Come on in the house. And one of those ungodly deeds is the abortion crowd and what they're doing to little innocent babies in the wombs of their mothers. I read the other day where it said they're going to try to pass a law where once it gets a certain week that they're not allowed to have an abortion. Because it's that particular time that they begin to feel pain. I mean, it's all right to kill somebody as long as they don't feel it. That's an amazing thing.
Amen.
They don't want to kill babies because they're afraid they'll feel it. They want to make sure they're at an age where they can't feel it. But you let one of them dudes on death row that's raped 3 women, molested 15 kids, sodomized 12 others, and put a needle in their arm. Oh, don't do that. They might feel it. I wouldn't give a flip. They did feel it. Son, bring me Goliath's sword. Praise God, I'll take their head off. They won't have to worry about a needle. I'll give them the shaft. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Now, we ain't going to stop there. We ain't going to stop there. Now, I ain't even got started yet. Just stay with me. Now, this is really one that they'd like to shut us up on. And this is the one that's going to get us. The gay rights agenda. Sodomites. Pardon the expression, queers. There's not anybody in Washington that is going to politicize that crowd away. But God is looking for some old leather lung Baptist preacher that'll get up on Sunday morning and Sunday night and cry loud and spare not and tell whoever will listen that that is still a wicked sin against God. Amen. And God will destroy the people that believe in that mess.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of point of view getting them saved. You ain't going to get no practicing sodomite saved.
Amen.
They will fry in hell, buddy.
Amen.
Somebody said that's a hate crime. Let it be whatever you want to call it. Hey, the Bible said God gave them up and gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I've heard people say when God gave them over to a reprobate mind, that was the end of it. I've thought on that. And I really believe if God ever gives somebody up, they're done. If they give up, if God ever gives up on somebody, they're done. He don't have to wait till He gives them over. Just give them up and they're done. And He gave them up twice before He ever gave them over.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, God's looking for a man that will stand up against the evildoers. Now I ain't going to preach on this all night long. Just hang in there. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do about the liquor and the drug peddlers? Smack them on the hand like they did this crowd of doctors and lawyers in Madisonville? Sentence the first time 15-year-old boy to 15 years in the boogie pen because they took a little bit of dope. But they'll let that crowd that gave him the dope go scot-free, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, somebody said, send him to court. They did, and it didn't work. But God's looking for a man. God's looking for somebody that will stand up against the evildoers. I'm going to tell you, I ain't afraid of none of them. They put on their pants the same way I do. One leg at a time. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now, I ain't got 2 million rounds like that fella had out in California the other day. I got 2 million rounds. I don't know how many guns. Had them down in a bunker, Brother Jerome. And his house caught on fire and they started going off. I did evacuate. Get out of the neighborhood. I'm bang, bang. They was carrying them out in there. Had box fulls of them, boy. Now, I ain't going that far. I'm not quite that bad. But I'm telling you, we're living in a sorry day. When the law will blink their eyes, when judges, come on now, been a long time since I preached, when judges will blink their eyes at a dope ring and a dope crowd and let them go without charging them with a crime that they paid. And then turn around 2 weeks later and you read something, if you do the crime, you'll do the time. Hogwash. Bless God, you. Now, I don't believe in taking dope, but you can smoke a joint and get 15 years out of it and kill somebody and get off.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead now. Preach.
God help us. This is on my heart, and I can't help it. I've got to believe it. David stood up against the evildoers.
That's right.
Those that opposed what God wanted.
Amen.
I want to say secondly, Mordecai rose up against Haman. Now, old Haman had passed a decree that all the people in Shushan was to be put to death. But the Bible said in Esther 3:2, All the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did reverence. I'm going to ask you, how many folks in here tonight bowed to Haman? God's looking for a man that will stand up against evildoers. And I'm going to tell you, the biggest evildoer that you've got in your life, you look at the rascal in the mirror every morning, buddy, when you comb your hair and brush your teeth. I'm telling you that Haman is a type of the flesh. And hey, come on now. And your flesh, God's looking for a man that will stand up against the sins of the flesh.
Amen.
Buddy, I preached a message some time ago on the Philistines. And they're a type of the flesh. And I'm telling you, when they caught Samson, they never deviated from their plan one inch.
Right.
There were always liars in wait,
Amen.
Waiting on him.
Right.
Teamed up with Delilah to get him. And I'm going to tell you, the flesh has never changed its mind today.
Right.
If you think you can outwit the flesh on your own, brother, you've got another thing coming. It's an enemy that is to be reckoned with. The flesh is selfish, and it wants its way, and it wants the taste of this world, and it enjoys. Oh, come on now, don't die already. I'm telling you, the flesh wants to eat up what this world's got. Go to the amusement parks. Get over and take their clothes off and go swimming in the ponds or whatever, the swimming pools or whatever it is. Show their hind ends. Somebody say, you're against that? Oh, yes. I don't even know where it'd be wise for a child of God to have one around the house. It can grow to be a nuisance.
Amen.
I wouldn't condemn it a great deal if you treat it right, but it can get to be a nuisance.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. Cruising the mall.
Right.
Listening to the wrong kind of music.
Amen.
The flesh.
Amen.
The flesh likes to tap the toe.
Amen.
But the spirit likes to pat on the heart. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Spirit likes to hunt down chicks, don't it, boys? I'm telling you something. You better listen to what I'm telling you. There is one word, two words that I can't stomach. And they're cool and awesome. And I don't like them. Somebody said, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. It was slang when I was a boy. Boy, I've lost some of you. You know why I've lost you? Because about everything you say, man, that's cool. And there's another word, man. Man this and man that. Man this and man that. And most of them that's manning ain't even dry behind the ears. Bless God, they'd have to get a Kleenex to dry them off with.
Amen.
Go away. It means to be a man.
Amen. Great.
Thank you, Brother Jerome. Me and you will preach a wild night anyway. I'll preach you shouting me on. Hallelujah. Mordecai said, I'm not going to bow.
Amen.
To Haman. If it costs me my life, I'm not going to bow to Haman. I'm going to tell you what was wrong in this. God said, I'm looking for a man that will stand up against the evildoers. I'm looking for a man that will stand up against the workers of iniquity. And good old rock and roll's here to stay, boy. Good old country music's here to stay. Don't nobody in here listen to that, do they?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of y'all listen to and call gospel. It ain't fit for a dog to hear.
Amen.
Some of you sorry rascals in here got the Crab Family on CDs out in your cars right now. You ought to see them. They look like a bunch of punkers. The hair all spiked up on the end. I like to get a hold of them with a good set of sheep shears, buddy. It'll help you. It'll help you one of these days. It'll make you madder than a weather hornet right now, but it'll help you one of these days. Esther rose up against Haman to stand before the king to provide the Jew deliverance. And in chapter 4, verse 16, she said, "If I perish, I perish." Amen. The evildoers were trying to annihilate Israel. And she said, "I'm going in. If I perish, I perish." Amen. I wonder how many of us got that kind of grace about us today that's able to stand against sin. I'm going to say this. It's one of my favorite verses. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
Amen.
It's what our Lord did in the garden. He was resisting sin.
Amen.
And he resisted so fervently that blood broke out upon his brow and dripped down his cheek and off onto the ground. Resisting sin.
Yes.
Praise God, we want to roll over and play dead in it and play with it. Come on now. Esther said, "If I perish, I perish." God's looking for a man that'll take a stand. God's looking for a mommy that'll stand against that and beat the daylights out of her children if they try to practice it. God's looking for a daddy that'll be a man and take control of the house and run the house. Come on in the house. Amen. Got to hurry. Got a long ways to go. Moses stood up against Pharaoh and demanded that he let Israel go. In Exodus 5:1, it said, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.'" I want to ask you all something. I want everybody to look right up here at me. Is there a man in here that's got enough grace to look the devil square in the face and say, "Let God's people go"? Somebody said, "Brother Hall, you really believe there's any God's people left around here? Why, if there's not, what are we doing here?" Sure there is, Brother Joe. God's looking for a man that'll take a stand, fellas, and look Pharaoh right square in his face and say, "Let my people go." I'm going to tell you, old Moses didn't stop until he let him go either, buddy. He was determined. God's looking for a man that's determined. When I'm talking about letting Israel go, you understand the application there. I'm talking about sinners that are bound in sin that belong to God. Now, some of you caught that and some of you didn't. I would say something, but it just about crucify me and make every one of you in here madder than a wet hornet. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not. God called them His people before they ever left Egypt. Come on now, don't die.
Amen.
Don't quit. I'm not a hyper. I'm not a... But I ain't a... either.
Amen.
I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
Amen. Peter stood up with the 11. We're about ready to get there now. On Pentecost. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken unto my words." Then he said, "For these men are not drunken as you suppose." But there stood old Peter, standing up with the 11, stood up with his crowd.
Amen.
Wasn't ashamed of his crowd. Now, I got to say this before I can really tie them together. And the church needs to stand up with the elder. He stood with the 11. You need to stand with the elder. Come on now. Some of you done turned me off. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that dwell among you be counted worthy of double honor, especially they, and I've never seen this before, they who labor in word and in truth. Get this. Let the elders that rule well. He didn't say let the elders that rule, but let the elders that rule well be counted double honor. And here is my statement. Hey, God's looking for a man. God's looking for some men that will stand with a preacher. If I have to preach it myself, praise God, I will. I can't even hire a preacher. I can't give him enough money to come in and preach on it a little bit. But I'm telling you, it's time. It's time. God, hey, God's looking for a man that'll take a stand, and he'll stand with a man of God. I'm going to tell you what thrilled my soul. Remember the night of the Jubilee? Them idiots come down here with them stupid little signs and stood out there on the other side of the road. But, well, they'll hear me and be down here again. Some of you men that's in here tonight walked right over there and stood right on the bank beside Brother Hall. I said, praise God. Some of them has got a backbone.
Amen.
After it was all over, a fellow came up to me that was standing over on this side, wasn't a member of the church, and he said, you know something? He said, I believe that Vincent was about ready to get hold of that one of those fellows. And I said, well, I don't know if he was or not, but I can tell you one thing. The Lord made the wrong move at a Vincent personal night, I can tell you that. I'm talking about standing with the elder folks, with a man of God. God help us. For the most part, the man of God's got to stand there alone. Take all the heat and all the wrath that comes. God's looking for a man that'll stand against who? Against the evildoers. Against the workers of iniquity. Praise God. Peter said, I'll stand, Lord. Wonder we got in here tonight, stand with the elder. I wonder if you'll stand with Brother Hall when he's old and feeble.
Amen.
Roll me up here in a wheelchair, move this thing out of the way and let me go.
Amen.
Matter of fact, give me one of them electric ones. I'll do wheelies the rest of God all over the place. Now don't leave me, I'm not done yet. Where are we to stand? This is the message. Where? I won't pause a minute. Where does God want you and me to stand? My text says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers?
Amen.
And who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
Amen.
I want to say, first of all, get this carefully. You'll never be able to stand against anything until you first learn how to stand in grace. That's what the Bible says. Romans 5:1-2, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand.
Amen.
And rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Now, I looked that word stand up and tried to figure out what it meant by the fact that we're standing in grace. Not on it. I believe the Bible, brethren, is verbally inspired. He said, standing in grace. Look down at your feet tonight. The question is, how deep are you in? Some of you is not in over your toenails. You're in the shadow part of grace. Some of you ain't into your ankles. Some of you has got her up around the shin bone and the knees. Some of you may be in waist deep. Now, it doesn't say how deep. It said standing in grace. Wherein you stand. Hallelujah. And I believe the deeper you're in, praise God, the better off you are. I'm about ready to run my head through a wall. I don't know about you, but we're justified by faith. And that faith has given us peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah to God. And it's by Him. It's by Him. I want to say it again. It's by Him. Bless His holy name. It's by Him. Thank God for H-I-M. Thank God for Him. It's by Him that we have access into this grace. Hallelujah. Wherein we stand tonight. May I say you can be in it just as deep as you want to be in it. Plunge in, plumb over your eyeballs. Praise God, get in over your head. Some of you want to go swimming, won't you swim in grace? Amen.
Amen.
Fellow said the other day, I read, I forget what it was now exactly. He said, I'm standing on a rock. I've seen water come out of the rock like a flood. He said, I've even sucked honey out of the rock. He started talking all about that rock. And I said, Lord, have mercy, where'd that man get all that? About that rock. But where are we going to get all that about grace?
Amen.
I've heard preachers say, you better not preach too much about grace. Why not?
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself.
Amen.
It is the gift of God. Thank Amen. God. For unmerited favor, you didn't deserve it. You ought to be fried in hell like a pork chop. But God, because of grace, came to where you were and lifted you out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, heaven.
Thank God for grace. Woo! Unmerited favor. Undeserving love. All of grace is my story all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace, He lifted me from sin and woe. Ain't that right? Praise God. When I think about it, I just get plumb crazy. I can't help it. An old pot-headed, cigarette-sucking, beer-guzzling, drunken sot that ought to be roasting in hell. But why God set His love on me, I'm telling you, Brother Andy, I don't. Praise God, Brother Andy, I don't know why He did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, and I'm telling you, if I'm saved by grace, that tells me within itself, get in it as deep as you can get. Hallelujah. Wasn't it old Brother Elliot Smith preaching that night, maybe the first or second night of our revival in 96, and he said, ooh, I hope I can get this like he said it. He said, as far out as you were in sin, that is how far you are now in grace.
Amen.
So God's brought you twice the distance.
Yeah.
And you'll get a hold of that after a while.
Yeah.
Praise God, He reached out with the hand of mercy. In the Amen, as far as deep as you were in sin, and brought you to Himself and then put you that far in grace.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, brethren. Amen. Brother Steve was up there tonight telling Elizabeth she's playing an organ and saying, louder, louder. She got to playing that organ by herself without the piano. I said, praise God. It sounds like we're back at Tabernacle. I looked out at y'all. I said, help thyself, my brethren. Praise God, isn't it good to be in church?
Yeah.
I'm about to go fruitcakey. Yeah. I'm about to go fruitcakey on grace, Miss Sue. How long have you been saved? Since 77. Woo! That's a long time to be in grace. That's right, thank God. Now I'm going to tell you something. If we'll stand against the evil doers and we'll stand against iniquity, God's grace will not fail. Hallelujah. You know why? God giveth more grace. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Amen. That's right. Sin bounces down here, but grace bounces up here. Woo! Glory! Bless. Hey, God, where you at, Brother Robert? Get back there and test me. I'm going to jump head first through that booth. I swear I am. Amen. Headlong. You young kids don't know much about grace yet.
Amen.
Thank God some of you in here have never got as far out there in sin as where I was. And I'd like to see God lasso you right now. You don't have to sow wild oats. You don't have to live a life of sin. Praise God, I've had more fun tonight than most of you's had all your life. Woo! Amen. I feel cranked up, three times saved, hallelujah, and religious as the Lord Himself. Woo! Amen. Feel like I can just shout her on out from here on out and go to hell. Where are you at tonight?
Right here.
Help me.
Amen.
Weak. You realize that if you were 365 foot down and grace reached down there and got you,
Amen.
He brought you 365 foot beyond the earth.
Amen.
You floating in cloud level,
Amen.
Brother Jerome. Rome's up yonder in the clouds.
Amen.
How far was that water under you, Brother Mark, when you was about ready to go off that bridge that night? How far was it down to him? 30 feet. Well, I believe it'd be safe to say that Brother Mark would be at least 30 feet up in the clouds anyway. I don't know how many bar stools Brother Andy set on. But grace is not sitting on the bar stool. He's sitting around the throne. And the glory of God filled the temple tonight, brethren. He may not have filled yours, but I'm telling you, He's filled mine tonight. This temple is full of grace and it's full of glory. Hallelujah to God. Bless His holy name. He brought me out of sin and saved me by His grace. I wouldn't even want my wife to testify tonight about where I was and what I'd done. Praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody wants some flowers? Praise God, I'll throw them egg suckers. I'm there when you get like I am.
Amen.
You imagine them cherry bombs up there around the throne crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And old Isaiah saw him and he fell down and said, woe is me. That's where we all were. Woe was us.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord said, get them holy tongs off the altar. Get a hot coal and go down there and put it on Hall's mouth. Woo! Woo! Amen. Amen. Them coals, that hot coal purged away the sin, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I don't cuss anymore. Most of the time. Let a little word slip out in here one night. It's pretty bad. Lord have mercy. I can't believe I've done that.
Amen.
Grace.
Amen.
Are you standing in it? I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It'll cause you to, this is Bible. It'll cause you to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what grace has done for me. It's given me a hope. Woo! I'm rejoicing tonight. I'm rejoicing along the way. I'm rejoicing in a hope for the glory of God. There's coming a brighter day, friend, when this old body's going to give way to glory. Hallelujah to God. This blood-bought crowd will be caught up into the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. Ooh, I'm about to go nuts again. You ever think about meeting Jesus?
Amen.
I'm talking about seeing Him, talking to Him, strolling over heaven with Him. Amen. What a day, what a glorious day, what a wonderful day. Praise God. I've got a little sister I've never seen. Died when she was 2 months old. I'm expecting to get up there and somebody walk up to me and say, "How you doing, big brother? And who are you?" "Well, I'm your little baby sister." "You don't look like a baby." "Well, of course not. Grace and glory. That's how to work."
Amen.
Won't it be wonderful?
Yes. Amen.
Won't it be wonderful? God's looking for somebody that'll stand in a little grace, brethren.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. God's not only looking for... And you're going to have to stand in grace first. Then God's looking for somebody. And I'm not going to tarry on this for a minute. I'm not going to tarry on any more of them but for a minute. God's looking for somebody that'll stand in the gap.
Amen.
Ezekiel 22:30. "And I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." I want to say two or three things here right quick. Hey, making up the hedge prevents the enemy from entering into the camp. From entering into the heart. God's looking for somebody that will make up the hedge. Your heart is vulnerable. God's looking for somebody that will make up the hedge, keep unwanted visitors out of the home. God's looking for somebody that will make up the hedge and keep unwanted visitors out of the house of God. Now, He said He looked for somebody that would stand in the gap for the land. Any red-blooded boys here tonight? We got any American boys? I'm telling you, America is going to hell tonight. God is looking for a man that'll stand in grace up to his eyeballs and take a stand for America. I'm going to say it, and I don't give a flip who hears it. It don't matter to me if George W. Bush hears it. But I think they ought to take all these bunch of Arabs, all these Mexicans and all these other foreigners and hightail them back to wherever they came from.
Amen.
Praise God for the home of the free and the brave. And they ain't fought to make it free and they ain't brave either. They're a bunch of cowards killing babies and women.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all hearing anything? What about America? Land of the free and the brave. And I don't care what your political party is. It wouldn't make a flip to me. But we've got boys over there on foreign soil giving their lives and fighting bravely for our country. And a bunch of stinking liberal Democrats in Washington wants to cut off their money. Boys, I'm concerned, if you don't love America, get out of it. And praise God, I'll go to the bank, borrow some money, and get some of them gone. Nancy polluted. Pelosi.
Amen.
Harry greedy. Reed.
Amen.
Diane Feinstein.
Amen.
They had one more K up in Massachusetts that had the KKK. They got Kerry and Kennedy. All they need is one more.
Amen.
They're not fit to govern America.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why they don't love America.
Right.
Yeah. Some of these other egg suckers don't love. We got Republican went on the David Letterman show there and I said, I'm here tonight to announce I'm running for president. I'd rather vote for a bloodhound dog.
Amen.
His name was John McCain. He ain't got nothing.
Amen.
See, I ain't just a Democrat basher. I bash all the egg suckers.
Amen.
On a liberal show like that to announce he's running for president. When Bill O'Reilly looked David Letterman right in his God-given eyeball and said, do you believe, would you like to see America win the war? He muttered and stumbled and never did answer. Again, would you like to see America win the war? He never would answer the question.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why, because he can't.
Amen.
Boy, I've shut y'all up now. They're liberals.
Yeah.
I said, you preaching politics, I might as well. Some of your old God was down in the South in the pulpit down there today.
Go ahead. Amen.
Obama and Hillary in the Baptist church. Propagating their little agenda. Somebody said, preacher, you, this is off the key. No, it's not off the key. God said, I'm looking for a man that will stand up against evildoers. They're baby killers. And they're sodomite lovers. Come on in the house. Better believe they are. And Obama's a mulatto. That means a half-breed for your information. Mama's a white American, his daddy's a black Indonesian, and he went to a 90% Muslim school, and if you vote for him, you ain't got sense.
Amen.
So I said, you ought to be preaching this. God's looking for a man.
Amen.
I told Brother Steve to look at, leave this watch, and I ain't looked at it. 7:45, I got to quit. I get off of that. Where else are we going to stand? Need to stand in the gate.
Right.
One of Brother Sammy Allen's cards out there, and it's been on there for years.
Yes, sir.
One of the purposes of the church is to bar the gates of hell.
Amen.
And my note here is stand in the gate. Jesus said, and I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell
Amen.
Shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Anybody in here tonight willing to stand against the evildoers? Anybody here tonight willing to stand in the gate of hell to try to keep sinners out of it?
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, preacher, we can't stand there. Do you have any spiritual integrity at all? Do you realize that every time a man of God mounts a pulpit and preaches the gospel, he's standing in the gates of hell trying to prevent sinners from going there?
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, I've been close enough at times I felt the heat off of it, I believe.
Amen.
Amen. We ain't playing games, boys. If you die tonight, you leave here and you die tonight lost, your soul will fry forever in hell, forever, forever in hell. You will fry forever in hell. And I'm going to do my best to stand in the gate. And every time one of them's headed that way, I'm going to preach and try my best to turn him around.
Amen.
Say amen or oh me. God's looking for a man. Some of you daddies need to stand in the gate.
Right.
Some of you grandpas need to stand in the gate.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Look at these little old baby girls of Benny and Angie's.
Amen.
I look at these little old boys and girls of Doug's and Lisa's and Stephen Tammy's little old Levi says, I'm Weevi Stephen Pheasant. And I look at your little kids. And all these other little children that's in this room tonight and some that's not here. Thank my God. Will they die and go to hell?
Go ahead.
Isaiah said, no man. No man cared for my soul. Lord, is there a man tonight that will stand in the gate of hell and prevent sinners from plunging headlong into the depths of the pit for an eternity without God? I could not and I cannot accept the thought of one of these little babies. Look at that little baby. Stand up. Yeah, you know who you are. Turn that little baby around. Can you imagine? Anybody in here? Can you comprehend that sweet-looking little old lovely-faced child? Maybe 12 or 13 years from now. Spend eternity in hell. There's no way out. God's looking for a man. May God touch not just man, but men! I'm glad that men and mothers, M&Ms, thank God for them, stand in the gate. That little old boy there called me and said, your name's Cheese. I said, I thought to myself, you don't know how near right you are, boy. My older brothers all call me Cheese. I said, you're baloney. So we'll be baloney and cheese. He said, boy, we're baloney and cheese. Isn't that me? Look at him looking at me.
Man.
What did he say? He done stole the show, didn't he? And I'm closing with this. Don't fall out with me for the word I used to try to alliterate the message. God's looking for somebody that will stand against the ghoul. Talking about, you know, like hobgoblins and ghouls. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is there a man in here tonight that can stand against his trickeries? Some of you in here don't have an inkling of his deceptive power.
Amen.
And his trickeries. Yeah. Now I'm telling you, he can make you believe something that is a lie in a minute, buddy. I forgot one, and I don't know how I missed this one. Jesus stood against the devil.
Amen.
He said, it is written! Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall thou worship. I'm going to tell you what the devil wants. He wants your worship.
Right.
He wants you to bow down and worship Him.
Amen.
Right or wrong, boys.
Amen.
God's looking for a man. Any men in here tonight? Get in grace. Stand in those other places.
Amen.
It'll be much easier to do. Let's all stand.